Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 8. We're going to read one verse to begin with. And I've titled this, Conscience of Sins. It's a Bible term, and we'll be reading of it. Conscience of Sins. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Now the significance of this is throughout this book and also our own lives. This first tabernacle yet standing, the holiest of all, not accessible while the first tabernacle is yet standing. And yet most I've met in this walk professing Christ are just such. This first tabernacle still standing in so many ways, in their own personal life, in their religion, perhaps the church they attend. I could go on and on. The first tabernacle visible in every aspect of their lives. And as I said, including their religion, they're subject to ordinances. And so it seems that they're always serving the first tabernacle, just like those of the law in the Old Testament. And you say, well, how is that? How so? Well, you see, they've yet a conscience of sin. They still have a conscience of sins. Or you might say a consciousness of sins. If you look at the next verse, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining, now look at it, to the conscience. And if you'll turn to the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, and read verse 1 and 2, you'll see this more clearly. He said, for the law having a... For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. In verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged, now look at it, should have had no more conscience of sins. You ever hear of such? No more conscience of sins. This is revelation. It's revolutionary. Who do you know as such? Whose sins are purged by the blood of Christ. If you go back to chapter 9 and verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Do you see it? Once and for all, no more conscience of sins. It's an incredible thing. In all honesty, most in religion, they're left with a constant barrage of sins. Always. You can say, well, the preacher, I went to church. What did the preacher preach on? The old joke goes, well, he preached on sin. You see? Preached on sin every week. Sin. He preaches on sin. Don't do this and don't do this and don't do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and don't do this, and you have to do this. I mean, go to church. That's what they preach every week, service after service, sin, sin, sin. And this to so-called saints, as we see in our text, that are not to even yet have a conscience of sins. Plural. A conscience of sins. in these meetings week after week. You know, in 1729, John and Charles Wesley, I'd read of this years ago, and Whitfield and some others, and at Oxford in England, they started the Holy Club. Bunch of young preacher boys, I don't know how old they were, 18 to 22, I believe. And they started, let's form a holy club. Can you imagine that today? A holy club, so that we can be holy. And especially in the Methodist Church, which is what the actual Holy Club became. The Methodist Church, the Holy Club. It's laughable today when you see the Methodist Church and the shape that it's in, or any other denomination. The Methodists, they've embraced women in the pulpits and even sodomites in the pulpits from the Holy Club. Or even a group of believers. And so you say, well, how can these things be? How can these things happen? Well, we read it in our text. You see, their first tabernacle is yet standing. That's a huge problem. And thus, no right. Listen, if the first tabernacle is still standing, you have no right to enter the holy place where there is what? We just read it. No more conscience of sins. So, you put those things together like building blocks, or better said, stumbling blocks. And so they're walking around, many are walking around, and they've got this first tabernacle standing, maybe in their religion, maybe in their life, maybe in their thoughts, maybe in whatever it is. And so they cannot enter, no right to the holy place. And so they yet retain a conscience of sins. But how about a place where there's no more conscience of sins? That's in Christ. And this is a marvelous thing. It's the New Testament itself. It's the New Testament of His blood. Or you might say a so-called reading of the will. In Hebrews chapters 9 and 10 that we're looking at this morning, we find what? Our inheritance. He died. And this is what He left us, you see. Our purge of conscience of sins. Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more, we just read it, conscience of sins. You can't deny it. It's the Word of God. The very act of redemption in the cross today, in religion anyway, carries no practical application to the believer. You can't say that it does. Symbolic, yes. Now I'm talking about in denominations in religion. I'm not talking about, I don't know about you, I'm not talking, listen to me, I'm not talking about in my life. Now, I did at one time, even in such leaders as MacArthur and Washer and most every other denominational preacher, not really holy. Not really. Well, you're not really. You're not really free from sin. no longer have a conscience of sins. Not literally born again. Well, you're not literally born again. And they have a conscience of sins. Think about it. That's exactly what it is. Well, you're not really a saint. Oh, we just called a saint. You see. Well, you're just called a child of God. You're just called a son of God. It's all symbolic. Don't you see? Well, you're not actually crucified with Christ. Well, you're not really a new creature. It's all really just sort of like play acting. We say we are. We simply believe we are. I mean, think about it. I'm telling you the truth. But there's a real problem there. Because then what does God become? What does this Bible become? Christ's death, Christ's burial, Christ's resurrection. What does that become? History? Well, he didn't really rise from the dead. Well, I guess Lazarus didn't rise either. And I guess Enoch wasn't translated. And I was thinking, I was pondering these things in my mind the other day. The Red Sea parting. And today we can you imagine? It's unbelievable. Well, it really parted. And they really walked across there as on dry land. Those things aren't symbolic. His atoning blood's not just symbolic. Or else my religion's symbolic. But they use these things. Because they don't really have them experimentally. They use these things, preaching on sin, to keep the sheep a little straight. Or actually, they're probably keeping the goats straight. Do you see? You see, man has, through the serpent and his angels of light, concocted a symbolic religion to what? Now listen. But ease his conscience. Ha! Ease his conscience. You ever hear preachers? They'll try to convict you. They'll stand up in church, they'll try to convict. Well, if I can work on that old boy's conscience, I can get him saved. Well, that's just like the blood of bulls and goats. Year after year. After year after year. That's what papal worship is. It's the best example we've got today. But the Baptists and Methodists and others, they're the same, you see. Because, you say, how do you know that? Because the first tabernacle still standing, I can see it. I can hear it. And they still have a conscience of sins. Well, that's a far cry from the Word of God and what we're reading even today. That's a far cry from no more conscience of sins. That's far from a new creature in Christ, where all things are become new. From neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. From how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How about from, but we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in us. All this symbolic. And so the first tabernacle is still standing in the blood of bulls and goats, and you can't do this, and you have to do this, and you can't do this, and you have to do this. Mind games, imagination. The holy club, God forbid. Listen. I joined the holy club in 1985. I didn't join it. I was born into it. And many would say, well, that way is too narrow, preacher. Nobody get in. Yeah, amen. Yeah, amen. You remember Matthew 7? Anybody remember Matthew 7? How many times we preached Matthew 7? It ought to be preached every day. Lord, Lord, well, I never knew you. You see? Verse 13, 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And this you cannot change. And few there be that find it. Amen. When I ask, have you met the Lord? Have you ever been born again? I don't speak metaphorically. It's not a figure of speech or a mere figment of my imagination. I speak of the death, burial, and resurrection of the old man and the rebirth of the new. Of my own personal testimony of meeting the Lord. No imagination could have done those things. The first tabernacle abolished. Gone in the blink of an eye. No more conscience of sins. And anything less than that is mere religion. Ordinances of men. Do this and you're saved. I've observed these things for 50 years. Listen, I was baptized back in 73, but I was not born again until 1985. In that period between profession, baptism, and a new birth was for me a hell on earth. Religious, but lost. You know why? Because religion couldn't clear my conscience. I sadly see them everywhere. First tabernacle yet standing. A conscience full of sins. All most need to do is open their mouths and outflow words that no born-again child of God could ever say. Sweet and bitter water, fresh and salt from the same fountain, God forbid. Most all they have to do is just open their mouth. Back in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through verse 18, he said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in your hearts, in their hearts, excuse me, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Well, where are they? They're gone. And you have a conscience of sins? They're gone. God can't remember them. How on God's earth can you remember them? Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. You better mark that. There's your litmus. How many times must he be crucified for you? Daily? Yearly as in the old? Like the blood of bulls and goats? Examine your own self, whether the first tabernacle be yet standing, and you yet possess a conscience of sins. Look at verse 19 down through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You can't enter in there unless your sins, your conscience of sins have been purged. We read it. Chapter 9, verse 14. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. A new and living way, not symbolic. A living way, experimentally. It's real. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, preacher, that's just symbolic. Hearts sprinkled from what? An evil conscience. No more conscience of sins. A new and better way. The first tabernacle dissolved, gone. It's finished. No more conscience of sins. Now, I'm just going to add a few things here. I made a few notes after God gave me this thing. It's like, well, wait, there's more. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 3. We read verse 1 and verse 2. But in verse 3, he said, but in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. Do you see the difference? First tabernacle still standing. They still have a conscience of sins. We see here a remembrance of sins every year. Almost all I know who profess Christ, yet sinners. Still in the shadows. The law was a shadow of things to come. Christ. That was what was to come. I've got a message that I really would like to, but I wanted to preach this morning. How marvelous it is that you and I were born A.D. and not B.C. But that's another word for another day. I just saw testimony of a man who was a great sinner until the age of 28. And he said at 28 he repented, he met God. And that he's actually a few years older than me. And he's never turned back, ever. Nor have I. And so many have told me, preacher, you better watch what you say. You're going to fall back. Into what? That tabernacle's gone. That fellow's dead. What am I going to fall back into? Death? No more remembrance of sins. Finished. Conscience of sins. Purged. A new man in Christ Jesus. Look there in chapter 10. Look at verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Now look at it. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. Glory to God. By the which will we are sanctified. I know a man, every time I talk to him, I'm just working on sanctification. Well, sanctification was finished 2,000 years ago. We're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times? Once for all. And then verse 14. For by one offering he hath, look at it, perfected forever them that are sanctified. Glory to God. Forever. How long is that? Our election, sure. And then at the end of this verse, at the end of this chapter, verse 38 and verse 39, Hebrews, and listen, I exhort you. You go back and you read Hebrews chapter 9, and you read Hebrews chapter 10. And then go back and read Hebrews chapter 9 and read Hebrews chapter 10. And then go back and read Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Oh, the just. Well, who are they? Those that no longer have the first tabernacle. Those that no longer have conscience of sins. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You see, if any man draw back. But look, he says, but we are not of them that draw back. Look at it, under perdition. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So much the more I could speak of such. You must be born again. You must. You must meet the Lord. You must be washed, that there be no more conscience of sin.